The book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I don't know what it is. I've had, over the last couple of weeks, quite a few of our members coming to me just periodically and saying, "Man, preacher, just let her rip. Just keep giving it to us, you know? And just preach your heart out. We can't get enough of it." And you know, I thought I've been preaching pretty direct and straight. I don't know, but some of them have been saying, "We feel like you've been holding back on us just a little bit." And I don't know if that's been the case, but I'll try to preach it a little straighter, a little hotter, and a little harder, I guess. And a little longer, I suppose. Amen. You know, Gail always tells me, "Preacher, you never preach too long." And I knew there was a reason why I liked you so much. But 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want us to look here tonight, beginning in verse number 10, if we may. The Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." May we pray together. Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, I pray that You would fill our hearts with the truth, illumine our minds to what You are communicating through Your Word by Thy Spirit. Lord, I pray that I may be eclipsed behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that each of us might be drawn into closer relation with Thee and will praise You for what You'll do in hearts. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Tonight I'm going to bring you a simple message titled "Instruction for Ministers." Instruction for ministers. Now, I suppose that in many churches from coast to coast, there's a prevailing notion that the pastor is the minister. A lot of times I'll go to a service or I'll go to a place as a representative of the church and they'll say, "Are you the minister?" And I say, "I certainly am the minister." Now, may I ask you a question? What does it mean to minister? Absolutely. Thank you. It means to serve. The Bible tells us about Jesus that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give Himself a ransom for many. And so we know that the Lord came and gave us an example of service, and every believer is called to serve. Now, you may not know this. You may not have felt anything. It doesn't matter. We don't operate by feeling. We operate based upon "thus saith the Lord." But at the very moment that you were saved, God gave you a spiritual gift. Some of you were given many gifts spiritually with which to use in service to the Lord God first and to others, and we serve God by serving others. Now, you say, I don't know what my gift is. Many of you, I could probably tell you what your gift is just by having spent time around you. Many of you have the gift of giving. Your generous hearts and constantly trying to supply a need for something within the body of Christ. There are those that have the gift of helps. They don't have to stand in the light. They can stand in the shadows, and they just want to be a helper and to help out in different ways. That's a spiritual gift. There are some that have the gift of administration. They just can organize and they can administrate things that will help the work of the Lord to go forward in an orderly fashion. And that's a gift that God has given them. There are others that have the gift of mercy. and you with compassion look upon the needs of others and seek to lovingly, tenderly help those that are hurting, and that's something that you feel intuitively. I believe when that's something that you feel intuitively, that's an indicator of the fact that God has endowed you at the time of your salvation with the gift of mercy. There are other gifts that God has given. I believe that He gives the gift of prophecy, and that's not the gift of knowing the future. That's the gift of foretelling the truth of the Word of God. I believe that there are those that God has blessed with the gift of teaching. They're able to expound the great truths of the Scripture in a way that is clearly understood. And so, there are many other gifts that we could enumerate tonight, but God says here in His Word, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want you to take notice of something tonight as we look at this verse. It says, every man. Every man. And so, there is no one excluded from the message tonight. Now you may say, I'm not a man. I'm a woman. This is in the generic sense of the term, such as mankind, which also includes womankind. So, everyone here tonight is included in this message. There's no sexism in the Bible. Amen? You can put lipstick on it and it's still the Bible. But anyway, just in case there was any question about it, I wanted to let you know, okay? So, anyhow, it's still the book and there's no sexism in it. God is an equal opportunity service provider for men and women alike in the Word of God. Praise Him. Anyhow, I want you to know that the Bible says, every man hath received the gift, even so minister same. Now, we receive the gift of eternal life, but at that moment, we receive the spiritual gift that God intended for us to utilize to serve others, to serve as ministers. Tonight, I want to give you some simple instructions for ministers, and I want you to notice with me, first of all, the aim of ministry. What is the aim of ministry? It would be kind of foolish, I would say, for us to set about to minister and not even know what in the world we're trying to accomplish by that ministry. Wouldn't it? My dad used to tell me, son, if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Right? But we have to know what we're aiming at. We need to know what the goal is here, if you would. And the Bible gives it to us very clearly here in these verses that we have shared. It says that we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That, here's the aim, catch it, that God in all things may be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isn't it always interesting to see how God phrases things? Here at the end of this verse, it says amen, which literally means so be it. It's like God is underlining a major point in the Word of God. He's saying, so be it. I want you to get a hold of this one, folks. And so, the aim of ministry is so that, yes, Christ may be seen in us so that we minister as of the ability which God giveth us, but it is ultimately to the end that Jesus Christ might be glorified. That He might be glorified. Now, if we were to take the time tonight and we're not go to all the verses that talk to us concerning our aim as believers to glorify the Lord, we would find in Ephesians chapter 1 that one of the very purposes for our creation is that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. If we go to Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 20, the Bible says, now to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There again, God's underlining it. God's purpose and plan for you as a member of the body of Christ is to bring Him glory. He wants to be glorified in the body of Christ. the church. And so, why do we minister? What is the aim of our ministry? It is not so that we can be lifted up in ourselves because we're providing such a valuable service to needy people. It's not so that we can build up a resume. It's not so that we can find personal fulfillment in doing something for God. Because the truth of the matter is, it would be better if that were our motive, that we just didn't involve ourselves in it, because it wouldn't be pure service. And there would be no reward in it anyhow for you. You see, the reason why we do it above all things is so that the Lord may be honored and glorified, and that He may be praised, as it says here, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's ministry that's performed to the Lord and for His glory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31, "Whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Sometimes people think, is God really interested in every aspect of my life? Is He interested in the little areas, little details of my life? You know what God's interested in? What you have for breakfast. You know what God's interested in? What you drank at lunch. Why? Whether therefore you eat or drink, that's kind of what you had for lunch and what you drank at dinner, right? Or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it to the end that the Lord may be glorified in all these things. It's a humble task to serve. Did you know that? But do you know what the Lord did? He humbled Himself and He became a servant. Philippians 2 tells us this. He became a servant. And if we desire for Christ to be manifested in our lives, then we too are going to say, just as Jesus has glorified His Father on the earth as a servant, so too, I want to glorify Him on the earth as His servant. And when I do, Christ will be revealed in me. You're no more like the Savior than when you serve. And we serve God by serving others as we were serving the Lord. As if we were serving the Lord. Recently, I was talking to some folks who were planning an event. And I asked the question, would you do all of these things that you're planning if Jesus had RSVP'd to be at the event? Would that change any of your plans? Because the truth of the matter is that we need to do everything that we do as if we were doing it not just for the Lord, but to the Lord. Because if you'd have to make any changes in your plans because the Lord happened to be present at the event, it didn't start out to be to His glory to begin with. You understand? So what's the aim? The aim for all of these things in our life is, first of all, that we might glorify the Lord and praise the Lord and give Him dominion over everything in our lives forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we consider this idea of ministry, I want us to consider those that were commended to the Lord in ministry and see some things here in Scripture. Turn back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And here's an oft-referenced household that were involved in ministry. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 15, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that," what's the next word? "Helpeth with us," and what's the next word? "Laboreth." You know what they were doing? They were serving the Lord. They were involved in the work of the Lord. Now, sometimes, people have a misconception about the work of the Lord, you know. Oftentimes, I have people want to joke around about the pastor, you know. And I'll have guys come up and say, "Pastor, I believe the Lord's called me to preach." And I'll say, oh, he has. How do you know that? Well, you know, I woke up this morning, had the overwhelming urge to sleep in, and I had a hankering for fried chicken. I said, yep, you're called. You know, some people think, you know, all that means is, you know, I get to sit around and study all the time. I was talking to a fellow that attended a church here not too far from us, and he said that their pastor, it was a denominational church, but their pastor negotiated a contract with the assembly that he would only invest 40 hours per week in his work, and that would include his prayer time, his study time, his church attendance time, his hospital visitation time, and whatever office hours he kept. And that would be only 40 hours a week, and that they would have to pay him a bonus for anything that he did above that. I thought to myself, yeah, I thought, man, where do I sign up for that job, you know? But you know, here's the thing I want to tell you. That's not the ministry. When someone's saying, look, I'm going to parse my service out, and if I have to do anything above and beyond the call of duty, I expect you to go above and beyond the call of duty and compensating me for it. That's not ministry. That's not a missionary. That's a mercenary. A gun for hire, so to speak. You know, here's a man, Stephanas, in the Bible. And it tells us here that they were first-generation Christians in the region of Asia where Paul evangelized, in Achaia. And as a first-generation Christian, he understood all that God had delivered him from. And the Bible gives us a record, beginning in the first part of this epistle, of the conversion of Stephanas and Stephanas.